shopping can be a lot of fun, especially when we listen in on a family as interesting as Molly Martin and the Captain. The long-standing friend of WBAL listeners, Molly Martin, and her seagoing husband from the Netherlands, Captain Neal. We take you now directly to the midtown apartment of Molly and the Captain near the Washington Monument. When you hear the traffic noises in the background, you'll know this personable couple lives in the very heart of Baltimore. Here they are, Molly and the Captain.
Neal, after dinner, I plan to rehearse with Dorothea. But you know, I do think we should have some thoughts about our first radio broadcast, don't you?
Molly, I think it sounds downright silly. I'm not a radio personality, and it will be terrible.
No, it's not going to be terrible. Talking to friends over the radio, I don't think it's a bit different than entertaining them in our own home. Fishing with them on their farms and on ships. We will share good conversations, trade tips on good food. We're going to visit places of interest. And the only difference is that little thing called a mic. For instance, if it happened to be my pleasure to interview Dorothea on one of my radio programs, and I hope it will be, I would do exactly the same thing as if we were right here in our own apartment talking, which we are. Dorothea, just for fun, let's kind of tell Neal on a bill of goods and see how very easy it is to really just talk. Are you game?
Most certainly am.
All right. I would begin by saying that my guest today is Dorothea Freitag, radio, stage, and concert pianist and composer. I certainly mentioned that very extraordinary talent. Baltimore-born, Peabody Scholarship when you were very young. The most talented child of the town, as a matter of fact. We did a radio program together during the war, and you went first to New York, and I went to California. And then I lost track of you, your many accomplishments, until the New York Musical Review, Lend an Ear, in which you not only played one of those two pianos for huge success, but also arranged the entire score, songs, ballet, and everything. How did that all come about, Dorothea?
Well, Molly, I met George Bauer on that radio program he was speaking of during the war.
Yes.
And after that, we concertized in New York quite a bit. We did several town hall concerts and also played with the National and the Baltimore Symphony.
Mm-hmm. He was our Coast Guard then, wasn't he?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And after that, it just seemed one exciting event took place.
Oh, that's right. And then you went to Hollywood?
No. From New York, I went out with Edgar Bergen to the islands, Pacific Islands. I was a musical director for a show. Mm-hmm. And then I came back to New York, and I met Catherine Dunham, the dancer and anthropologist. I did a show for my first show, and I wrote the ballet music for that. The show was not too good,
but the music was wonderful.
That's what I thought. And that was a very interesting thing to do. And after New York, I went to Hollywood, and I studied orchestration with Tedesco for some time. And while I was there, Catherine sent for me in Mexico to write one ballet this time. And I did a ballet called Jazz in Five Movements, which is being performed in Europe today.
Oh, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's see what happened. I came back to New York.
To Lend an Ear,
right? New York. And I got word from George that Lend an Ear was going to be produced in Hollywood with two pianos. Of course, that was just there. We both had a wonderful time playing the show with just two pianos.
Well, you know, speaking of bringing us up today, it seems a long time ago now, but you mentioned Ireland that you visited in 1944 and 45. Can you name a few?
Yeah. There was Oahu, Guam, Iwo Jima, Tinian, Baikan, and Tuvalu.
Neil, do you happen to know any of those islands? Were you there on your travels?
No, I don't know the Pacific very well. During the war, we were what we called on the North Atlantic battle. Mm-hmm. But I remember during the war, I went to West Africa. Dorothy, you know about Camp Can?
Camp.
You know, we had 60 to 80 boys on board there who did a stevedoring. They went all the way down the coast with us. And we were going back up to Freetown where we picked them up. They were getting excited to go back to their mammies. And we tried to make them sing at nighttime. And they called it Camp Can. They were using drums and just like your Negro songs here, they're all the same words. Mm-hmm. And we had to stop you once in a while because they're getting too excited.
What was the melody of that? Do you know, I remember.
Yes, something like that.
I remember that. You know, it's rather curious. We're from Ireland, West Africa, Hollywood, New York. The question uppermost in my mind, and I rather suspect is Neil's as well, why did you leave the show London Ear when success was quite beautiful?
Well, my dad has a music school here. And it's been his heart's desire for many years to really do something to promote and develop the talent of Baltimore. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was about time that I got in and gave him a helping hand. Mm-hmm. And we're having more fun trying to find talent and trying to promote it and develop it.
Well, you know, it would be a very interesting thing. You mentioned that ever so slightly to me the other day at the studio, that if we could find really good voices and really train them not only for auditions and radio and club dates, but perhaps plan a program that's quite suitable to that particular singer, and maybe produce a New York star.
Of course, why not? Certainly, we've got lots of Baltimore people here who have done magnificently.
Well, let's try to give one scholarship, and just the two of us to work on one. I think it's a grand fun, because I don't do half enough music. Would you like to start plans after dinner?
Right away.
You know, I think we will. But now that we've had so much fun in presenting you, which Neil doesn't happen to know about, let me follow through for just a bit more. Talk to Neil. I want an interview. I'm going to pretend that I don't know you, but that you're another visiting captain to the Port of Baltimore. And my listeners are keenly interested in you, Captain. So, Captain, let's pretend. Anyway, where were you born?
Well, I was born in Amsterdam, Holland.
And where did you train for the Navy, sir?
I'll be training for the Navy on the takeoff for the sofa. Just something like, something like Annapolis here.
Were they very sick?
Oh, yes, they were.
And how were they? Did you have any spending money?
Yeah, we had spending money, but they checked us up on that. I mean, let's say we have $1 a week, and when we came back at school, we had to give our purse back to the officer in charge, and he checked up how much we had left in us.
Then you really could go home for weekends, but you couldn't spend much money. May I dare ask you this point with Dorothy as witness? Did you ever have dates with nice pretty desk girls?
Well, we were not allowed to. But I hope you understand you had some.
Can you recall, I think I better skip that one, can you recall your first trip to sea when you were an apprentice?
That I recall that very well, because it was just the day before Christmas. My mother was crying, my father tried not to cry. I went to sea, it was a heavy storm, southwest Miguel in the North Sea. We arrived in the Ames Channel. The ship didn't come to sea anymore, but drifting to the island of Wight. And it was a steamship. Mm-hmm. But we had some time ago now, and we had some sails in the aftermath, and he sent us up to rig up the sails. Well, he sent me up as well. I don't remember it because I was so darn stupid.
You were for how many days?
For 14 days.
Did I hear somebody say once that you went to sleep with your boots on? Could that be possible?
Oh, yes. We had this old fashioned ship, and there was water about 1 feet high in our cabins, and we just slept with our boots on. And every time they woke us up again, we just struggled again to the bridge.
Well, you know, since that time, you sailed to many wonderful places, going and coming in and out of seaports, including Baltimore. Of course, you never know how long you're going to stay, and now that the water is over and troop ships are passenger liners, and again, I suppose, rather glamorous, beautiful, lovely ladies, so kind of South American bound. I understand that was a favorite port of yours. But tell me, Captain, this Dorothy, again, as my witness, this will be probably my one and only chance to ask so many questions. Where do you think, first of all, is the loveliest spot in the world to go by ship, I mean?
Well, I think the loveliest spot in the world is to go to a vacation trip during summertime to Norway.
And where are the loveliest ladies?
That's a very, very difficult question, I think. I would like to tell you a story about lovely ladies. I was on a freighter once, and we had 3 weeks sailing from Buenos Aires to London. They found us around there in about 36 hours. It was not much of a chance to see anybody. And they sent us to the west coast of the United States. And then we were approaching Panama Canal. The man at the wheel, he called out to me. He said, "Captain, do you see that?" I said, "What do you mean?" Well, I said a bit, little other words as well. He said, "Look over there." Oh, I looked there. I said, "What is it?" He said, "It's a woman."
It's a woman.
That was the loveliest lady for him that time.
I'm sure it was the loveliest woman he'd ever seen. So whenever we can probably try to keep you online, lovely ladies in Baltimore, talking by radio or just at home with King and me, we will do it. One excellent way, I suppose, to keep a man to this good earth is delicious home-cooked food. So, Dorothy and Neil, if you had your choice tonight, what would you have, Dorothy?
Well, what have you got?
Well, I've got a little list there, and it never will be missed. No, it never will be missed. Well, I have, as a matter of fact, warmed over roast, and it's pork and sauerkraut, and I think it's kind of good. I was going to have some baked potatoes. I could tell you about French's instant potatoes, but I won't today, because that could easily be a commercial. A mixed salad, onions, maybe, you know, a lot of onions, and salad bowls, and all of the rest of it, which I think sounds kind of good for me. And what about food for my little friend?
Oh, well, give him some Kahlo.
Kahlo?
Yes.
Right, you know that Kahlo. What is Kahlo, Mom?
Well, first of all, I'd like to tell you something about Kahlo, because I think that it is kind of special. On my morning program, I really talk about Kahlo dog food, but first of all, I send glow dogs to little children, and they kind of shine like magic, you know? And they're something, they are really something very, very special, and Kim really goes for it in a big way. And it's the kind of dog food that's good. At this minute, I wonder if you'd like to prove to our friends that we're really in our apartment. Kim, where are you? Kim? Hey, well, I want to show something nice. This is very delicious. You want to prove to your friends that you're right here? Come here in position. Well, you will speak. No, speak very loud. That is wonderful. That is simply fine. I can't think of anything nicer, and it's a nice surprise. You know, Neil, you don't happen to know it, but I have a surprise for you. When we went to Lexington Market this morning and we met the coffee man and Mr. Callahan and the man who sells flowers in the corner, and we had such a nice chat, you thought that I was planning that material for another program. But we actually recorded it this very morning, right at Lexington Market. And I'm going to play it for you now. You know, I just love Lexington Market, Neil. It has so much wonderful old history surrounding it. Now, just take, for instance, this new temporary building. I happened to do a little research work on Lexington Street and the market, too, and I discovered that Lexington Street derived its name from the Battle of Lexington. That was firmly fought in 1775. Before then, it was called New Church Street. And then, even before that, an Indian named Tonawindo. That man we know so well, John Ezel Howard, owned all of this property up and beyond the Ford and Belvedere Hotel. And he laid off a spacious lot for a public market way back there in the year of 1782 at the very first session of the Maryland Assembly. Then by the following year, three market houses had been erected between Utah and Green Street. Neil, do you happen to remember the day Lexington Market burned down not so long ago, but your friend Captain Bond was here and his wife, and they went down from New York?
Well, wasn't that very funny? I always told him about the wonderful markets we had here in Baltimore and particularly the Lexington Market. And then his wife came from Holland just a few months ago, and she wants to buy what she calls smoked beef.
Yes, and you know,
and I tried to explain to her, we don't call it smoked beef, we either call it cooked beef. And then this morning we went down, and there the Lexington Market was gone.
Yes, and it was a curious thing that we happen to love cooked beef. I wonder, you know, there's nothing better than sandwiches when you use a lot of horseradish. There's my horseradish man now. Come on, let's go over and talk to him. Hello.
How are you, ma'am?
I'm very glad to see you. You know, I think you're one of the sons of Original Joe.
That's right, ma'am.
Where's your father?
He's working on Washington.
I tried to get him to talk to me the other day, and he said, if you're ever going to tell a story about me on the radio, I'm too shy. But I think you might tell me a little bit about your father. Wasn't he born in Italy?
That's right, ma'am.
And when did he come here? Do you remember?
Oh, he was about 12 years old when he came to the United States.
And then he went into the horse radish business?
That's right, ma'am.
How many sons does he have?
Four sons living now, yes, five.
And what are their names?
Tony, Vince, Frank, and myself, Russell.
Russell?
That's
right. I got a brother by that name, so I think that sounds like good luck. You know, you've been grinding horseradish, I suppose.
That's right, man. Cry every day.
You do cry every day?
Yes, ma'am.
That's just wonderful. Where does the horseradish come from?
St. Louis, Missouri.
St. Louis?
Yes, ma'am.
And what about the coconut?
Well, Puerto Rico, Panama.
Mm-hmm. And you're all four sons are in the business?
Yes. Well, three of us now. Yes. My brother's going to college.
Oh, I see.
The youngest one. Yes. Fine.
Do you have a lot of pretty girls come up and ask for coconut, cake?
Well, we have, but I don't pay much attention to them. I'm married and I have a boy.
Oh, that's nice. How old is your son?
4 months.
4 months old.
Yes,
were you in service?
Yes, ma'am. 2 years in the Navy.
So it means a lot of hot, dressy dishes. Do you use much horseradish yourself?
Oh, yes, ma'am. On oysters.
On oysters?
Yes, ma'am.
Maryland oysters.
That's right.
Right, yeah, fine. I'd like to tell him that I remember once before talking to your father, and he said that he'd been in New Orleans and Newport News and Columbus, South Carolina, if I remember
yes,
right.
Yes, ma'am. He likes it, too.
But he'd rather stay right here now.
He loves Bong.
Do you live in the country?
Westmore Road out in Lock Raven.
That's fine. Well, all right. Maybe to all of our friends sometime they come down. Don't forget they're going to ask for Original Joe and his four sons.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much. Well, it sounds like it's been so nice, isn't it? You know, on that day that the fire burned down at Lexington's Market here, there was a lot of excitement in that coffee store. And the coffee store means, as far as I'm concerned, Mr. Martin. Now, Mr. Martin is not related to us, and we don't believe us in that. Hello, Mr. Martin. How are you?
Molly.
Molly is right. Remember the day we talked about our names?
Most assuredly.
Right.
You know, that reason I remembered you so much, and I don't just remember names.
Well, I came in with Mrs. Hooker, and she said it was the best coffee she ever had in her life. And, you know, Mrs. Hooker is now in Cairo, Egypt, with her three children and her husband at the embassy. I wrote the other day and said, oh, for a cup of rather good coffee for Mr. Martin.
You tell Miss Hooker if you want good coffee, we can still send it over to her.
Right you are. I wish I could show this store by television. First of all, I'd like to know where you happen to get all of your beans. Are they called beans?
I had them made in 1904, just after the Bowling of Fire.
You didn't?
Yes.
1904, now.
There's the original painting on there. That's a gold leaf, not gilt.
It certainly is. There's not a sign of a tip on that, is there? No. Tell me a little bit about your coffee store. How long has it been in your family, and when did it begin?
Well, this coffee business is the first King coffee store in Baltimore.
What's the name?
Great County Tea Company.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Benjamin Barry, he's the one who originated. And from what I understand, he was the first man to bring a Chinese to Baltimore and have him dressed up in his costume, parading around his store. 615 East Baltimore Street.
Isn't that interesting?
And the fire burnt us out at 1904, and I have it ever since then.
Mm-hmm. What is the most popular coffee of your fascinating names there on the wall? So,
well, Gavin Mocha Coffee.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's the coffee we drink today.
Uh-huh. And what are some of the other brands?
Well, we have the Maracaibo and the Bogota Coffee and the Santa's Coffee.
No, yeah, didn't you mention some particular name that you want to ask
Mr. Martin about? I'd like to ask Mr. Martin about, you had I drank Brazilian tea many times. It's a green powder. And, it's a green powder, you see.
Green
and,
powder.
And they have a little container. It's their place. And they put a green powder in it. They call it really mutti.
No, well, I don't know anything about that. The only green tea we had was the gunpowder tea.
I don't know
there
about
was all
that.
Time. Well, that might be something similar. Of course, we had those little receptacles that you say you put them in.
Yes.
But we have the green teas. There's different kinds of teas. Mullions and pink sewers and fruit salads. And
do they still exist?
No. They come from China.
Yes.
And I haven't had green tea, I guess, for the last 7 or 8 months.
Tell me about some of your very old customers. They've been coming here for a long time.
Well, I guess I've been serving customers here. Some of my customers are coming in here for 50 years or more.
Really?
Yes, indeed. Some of the old folks and still the youngsters, they still come in here.
Let's hope that the youngsters are going to be as good a homemaker as I know you've been used to having and living.
Well, I hope so too, lady. I agree with you on that.
Yes, because, and there's high schools there. Wish you could see the high schools. I mean, this is the sort of place that I think only belongs in Baltimore, Maryland, don't you think so?
Well, can I add one thing to this? It's the first King coffee store and the last, because that's all we sell is tea, coffee, and sugar. No spices, no cream, goods, or anything of that sort.
No, sir, it's just tea. But during that day when the fire broke out, You very kindly put up stalls there so that the vegetable man, the flower man...
We all helped them all out.
And all the rest of them.
Yes, indeed. We couldn't do otherwise.
Well,
there were too good of friends of ours.
You know, you're awfully nice. And when anybody comes in here now, remember the day that Molly Martin came by and found material for one of her radio programs.
Well,
from nice Mr. Martin.
Mine again, more success to you.
Well, the charming smile. And you know, you spoke about flowers. Is that flower man a friend of yours, Arthur?
One of my greatest friends.
Are you about the same age, maybe?
Oh, no, he's much older than I am.
Let's go and ask him. All right. Oh, see if you can defend that. It is Mr. Michael, isn't that right?
Michael is right.
Mr. John Michael? Yes, and how long have you been having flowers outside of Mr. Martin's front door?
Well, we've been having flowers about how long now, would you say? Since
Well, I say,
had to get off of Utah Street, you know, the time was
So then you came up here to sell all your wonderful seasonal flowers. Do you, where do you get the flowers?
Well, we grow our own flowers out in Fullerton.
Oh, you do?
Well,
oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
How many acres do you have?
We have 15 acres.
And what would you say is probably the most romantic flower in the world, having been living side by side them for a long time? What is your favorite?
Nothing better than a nice chrysanthemum.
Nothing better than a nice chrysanthemum. Nothing too right about that. What's the most popular one at this particular time of the year?
Well, now we have a dolly. This is a dolly season right now.
You have your old customers coming by?
Yes, we really do. Old customers with the quarters.
Mm-hmm. And I rather suspect that you used to make wedding bouquets.
Yes, we also sold wedding hotels, wedding orders.
Are you doing all the work now, or will you turn it over to...
No, I have turned it over to my son now.
How many sons do you have? No children.
Well, we have...
I'm way older than Mr. Martin.
I have five sons.
Five sons? Well, you should be proud of that. And you live out there in Fullerton,
yeah.
Is that right?
That's right.
I just kind of established something very nice, I would think. And you know, to talk about flowers and all the other very wonderful things, flowers and coffee... And all they seem to me that the most important thing in the world around Baltimore, that is typical, and that's good seafood. You know, I happen to hear that when this market was laid out, the Western market was to be occupied by fishmongers, as they call it. I looked it up in the dictionary. And the East End by butchers. Market days, teachers, and services. Teachers and Fridays, I think. I believe my mother told me that Mr. Callahan's family has sold fish and seafood in Lexington Market for many years. Where's my friend, Mr. Callahan? Hello.
How are you?
Fine. Oh, very nice to see you. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about your family's job here in the public.
My grandfather started the business over 100 years ago and kind of went on to my father and then on to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the third generation operating the same stall now.
And you're the third generation. That's wonderful.
And then I have another son my son is running the business, so he's the fourth generation.
Mm-hmm. All with the name of Callahan. A nice, good Baltimore name, right? Tell me, what do you think is probably our most popular fish in Baltimore?
Well, I'd say shad and rock.
And that's all season long, practically.
No, spring of the rock is all year round, and shad are just in the spring of the year.
Mm-hmm. Of course, plenty of seafood.
That's right.
For crab feet.
And oysters.
You know, I don't know whether I ask this. I think you might be amused at this angle. Do you think that many political questions might be settled over a good oyster roast and a crab soup?
Well, all went along every Saturday and Sunday. They have oyster roast, and there is a rule sponsored by some political organization, and all the politicians come there.
You had something to ask Mr. Callahan the other day, or rather to ask me about fish, which I didn't know about.
Yes, I'd like to ask Mr. Callahan. You know, I came from the nautical school, and we had our education was to go to sea, really go to sea. So they put us on sailing vessels, and they put us on a fishing boat. And I happened to be one to go on a fishing boat, go to the North Sea. And we caught what we called codfish. And we saw that I was a youngster, but I didn't know anything about fish. And we saw on the fish, between the difference between cod and hake, there were two black spots there. You know where the fish breathes?
That's right.
Cod and hake, is that hake?
Yes, hake.
No, the haddock is the one that has fingerprints on it.
What does it mean?
Well, it's supposed to have been a fish that was picked up by St. Peter, and every haddock Joe has the imprint of the thumb and the first finger on the back of his neck.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only face that I know that has that.
That's almost a difficult
there.
Story, then, isn't it? Did you find out, in just regular history, or didn't you mention something about the robe? Did that happen to be in the book, The Robe?
I don't think it was in the robe, no. Mm-hmm. Of course, everybody can see these marks on the face, and we got the story from old timers, I guess.
Well, Mr. Callahan, if you were to decide the most favorite meal that you could have with your family, what would it be?
In the seafood line?
Oh, yes, it's got to be seafood.
That's pompano.
Pompano. We don't sell it very much here, do we?
We sell all we can get.
We do?
Yeah.
I think it's a rather interesting angle that some of the fish actually that we sell here comes from another part of the country, doesn't it?
Well, Florida is the favorite place for pompano, although we get some right out of the bay here in the summertime. Wintertime, they come from Florida.
Well, I would say today that I have vows of material, Neil, to take home and maybe do by way of a wonderful regular program one of those days. I'd like to also, I think you've all been wonderful. I want to thank our listener, Joe, and his perfectly nice son, his favorite son, who said, let's see, that's the envy of the family. And, of course, Mr. Michael, Mr. Martin, who has the nicest smile in the world, Mr. Callahan, who is not only tall and handsome, but knows about fish and seafood. And one day we're coming back and see if we can't find mussels. But that's going to be for your next program.
I want to have mussels.
You do. All right. We will ask you about that on another time. It seems to me that if we're going to eat, we better go Franklin Street Way and see what everything is all about. I think the new market is going to be even lovelier than the old one. Thank you and goodbye. Well, Captain, now that we're back home again, talking with Dorothy across our coffee table, can't you readily see how simple, how easy that radio broadcasting can actually be?
Well, it's amazing to me.
No, it's not amazing, actually. It's radio. It'll be as easy can be and fun. And now that we have completely told you on the idea, I think it'd be very nice to announce to our friends that tomorrow, the good Lord willing, we're going to get in our 1947 Plymouth. Oh, that could be such a nice commercial. And we're going to ride our way out the Hartford Road to visit Mr. and Mrs. Twining. We will see how they actually can steer. And I'm certain we're going to bring home Dorothea some very wonderful fresh eggs right from their farm, their dairy farm. And we're going to have a feeling that living in Maryland is good. So I'd like to say now, I fooled the captain completely and the radio is going to be from now on. Thank you, Dorothea, for your help. It's a very good chat. I think I should do something about our dinner at this time. You've earned it. So, until tomorrow, this is Molly Martin.
Captain Neal.
And Tim. Thank you all very much, and we'll see you tomorrow off the Hartford Road. Goodbye.
Again tomorrow at 1:30, we will be eavesdropping on Molly Martin and the captain at their home and with their friends in Maryland.